All right, good morning. It is about that time. So please, if you would, make yourself to your seat as we get started this morning. Are you happy to be in chapel this morning? Ooh. Are you happy to be in chapel this morning? That's more like it. All right, so do me a favor, as we get started this morning, go ahead and give somebody an air high five. Not a physical high five, but an air high five. There you go. Yeah. Not you know, socially distanced, following our COVID protocol, an air high five. There you go. All right. Awesome. Great. You know, the day will soon be here where we can physically high-five and hug each other and kiss each other and all that good stuff. But for now, we'll do an air high-five. As we get started this morning, we have a couple of announcements. First of all, how many of you guys came to the gathering last Friday? Anybody came to the gathering last Friday? Well, it was an amazing time of worship. Give it up for the Student Ministry Club. Give it up for the Student Ministry Club. Yeah. Thank you guys for putting up that event. It was just a very nice, intimate time of worship. So the gathering happens every month. You don't want to miss the next one. A couple of announcements for you to know. Tomorrow, we will not have chapel, okay? So we have chapel, obviously, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. This week, tomorrow, we will not have chapel. I know you're bummed, but guess what? You'll have time to read. You'll actually have time to read and do homework. So, yay for that. I know Jeremy is happy about that, right? Student Success Specialist. So, no chapel tomorrow. Today, right after chapel, you have the opportunity. We have some visitors here on campus. They are Skylark Camp. Let me tell you a little bit about them. Skylark Camp is hiring summer staff for this summer. They are a nonprofit camp ministry dedicated to the local church and the children of working families. They stay at one church site for 10 weeks of camp. They are currently looking for camp counselors who are involved in the local church. So after chapel, go by the coffee shop and visit with them if you're interested looking for summer opportunities. This might be the opportunity for you. So check them out. Give them a warm welcome as well. Also, next week we will continue with our VP meet and greet. And next is Dr. Joe Waddell from Advancement. So next Tuesday, you'll have the opportunity to meet and greet Dr. Joe Waddell after chapel. And he's bringing his favorite snack, whatever that is. It's a surprise. So I hear it's pretty good. If you remember Russell Marriott, his favorite snack was an apple. So you all guys got apple. So looking forward to see what Dr. Waddell is going to give out. Those are the announcements we have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get started in worship this morning. Father God, we come to you this morning giving you praise, giving you thanks for the opportunity we have to come together and worship you. Lord, thank you because as we hit the middle of the semester, we can definitely acknowledge and recognize that you have been with us, Lord. God, sometimes it feels like you're not. Sometimes you feel like you're far away. But God, we know that you're not far away, that you're with us, Lord. And I pray for those students that at this time, at this moment, feel like you're far away. God, I pray for encouragement. I pray for, Lord, perseverance in their spiritual walk with you. Thank you, because if there is something we can count on, is your presence in our lives. Bless this time of worship. Thank you, because we know you have a powerful word for us this morning as well, through your servant. We pray all of this in your precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Worship with us this morning.
I want to take this privileged moment to introduce our speaker, also to thank our musicians again for reminding us that in all the sinking ground around us, which is everywhere, Christ raises us up. And he raises us up together, and this is a great thing. Our speaker today was a student with me here at Criswell College. We shared our time together here, and I am certainly blessed that the Lord has brought us back together today. Pastor Laelius Johnson, sorry about that. Pastor Laelius Johnson is the pastor at St. Paul Baptist Church, and he's been there for almost 30 years now. So this is saying something. In Dallas, pastor a church for 30 years consecutively, 29 years, I think, right now. And we do pray, and by the way, you should keep in mind praying for their congregation. Obviously, after all the COVID stuff, they took that time to be creative. I hope I'm not taking something you were going to share with them, but they took that time to be creative and fix their auditorium, make it really nice. They had some really elegant work done. I've seen the inside, the pictures of the inside, really beautiful. And then got hit by the ice storm from a couple of weeks ago and had all the water pipe damage, flooded the entire building, and they're having to have it all redone now. So please pray for their congregation. That's a pretty tough challenge to go through when you're just trying to recover from COVID and get back to the stuff that we need to do to serve our communities. Again, he's been pastoring there for 30 years. We know the Lord will bless that, and we will certainly be praying for you in that. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree from Criswell College and also received his Master's degree from Criswell College. Now we say, praise the Lord for that. I saw him greeting Dr. Metz earlier and Kirk Spencer earlier, and they shared time here as well. So prior to that, he served, prior to being the pastor at St. Paul Baptist Church, he served at Wesley Chapel Baptist Church in Wills Point for 6 years as well. That's a lot of experience in ministry and a reason for you to hear a man who's committed his life faithfully to Christ. He and his wife, Carlette, have four daughters. One of those is actually a student here at Criswell College now. And so please join me in welcoming Pastor Laelius Johnson.
Thank you so much, Dr. Creamer, for that wonderful introduction. We say praises and adorations to our Most High God, to the faculty, staff, administration of this great school, my alma mater. I thank God for the privilege of having studied here. I told Dr. Creamer that I took the long route. You heard that we have four daughters. Every time a daughter was born, I took a year off. And so it took me quite a while to get through, but I thank God for being here. Good to see my friend Kurt, who is a professor here. It was a professor then when we were here. We sang together in our Criswell quartet that had five members. And it's good to see him still here at our school. And Dr. Metz, what can I say? He preached, if you've been in his class, you know that he preaches every class, period. And I thank God for him. We too did ministry together. He would be in revival. Two or three times he was in revival and I would do the special music. And so he said to me when he saw me, "Are you going to sing?" And in my mind, I said, "They call me to preach." But since my professor says, "Are you going to sing?" I will sing, because to be honest, at St. Paul, I sing every Sunday before I preach anyway. So it is in the form of my prayer. So if you will bow with me as I sing my prayer before I preach. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along life's tedious journey, Savior, let me walk with thee, not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer will be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, all along life's tedious journey, let me walk with thee. Touch me, Lord Jesus, touch me one more time. I need to feel your presence. Lord, just one more time. Shower down on me and let your spirit move me. Oh Lord, please, Lord, touch me one more time. In the name of Jesus and by the power of your great might, I pray that you think with my mind, feel with my heart, speak with my mouth. Rescue Laelius from Laelius. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Sanctify my personality and use me for your glory. And when you have done it, I'll be careful to give you all of the praise. For I pray this prayer and ask this favor in the name that is above every name, in the blessed and holy, righteous, and powerful salvific name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for his sake, I pray. Amen. This morning, I'd like to invite your attention to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1, and I will read for your hearing verses 1 through 14, which is the longest sentence in the Bible. Those of you who are studying under Dr. Metz know that this is one continuous sentence. It is probably the longest sentence in antiquity. And I will read for your hearing from the English Standard Version of the Holy Writ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him
We have redemption through his blood for forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of his glory. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God stands forever. For just a few moments, my son-in-law, Kendall Lyons, who's here at Criswell, told me, "Pastor, you can't preach too long." So for a few moments, I want to talk from the thought, heaven's choice. Heaven's choice. You may ask why I chose that subject for this scripture. Heaven's choice. My wife is a Johnson by marriage. My wife is a Hinton by birth. Her mother and father, biological, calls her to be a Creighton by DNA. But when she was about 9 years old, her mother married a man by the name of H.B. Robinson. And Mr. Robinson adopted my wife. And so, since she has been adopted, her name, when I married her, was not Hinton, not Creighton, but it became Robinson. The other year, we had an opportunity to go out of the nation, and it caused us to get a passport, and we had to get our birth certificates. On her birth certificate, her mother's name, maiden name, May Hinton. Her father's name, H.B. Robinson. Because she was adopted, her name changed. Well, my brothers and sisters, professors, faculty, administration, student body, I want you to know that we all are now in the family of God because in heaven he chose us. It was not because of anything that we did. It was not because of how good we are or can become. He chose us. He did it because he wanted us. And so three things I'd like to lift to point out the fact that we are heaven's choice. The first reason we're heaven's choice is based upon the will of the Father. We are heaven's choice. We are blessed to be in the family of God because the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And so we are who we are. We are blessed like we are because the Father in heaven chose us. He gave us every spiritual blessing. He chose us in him. And get this, y'all, he did it before the foundation of the earth. Woo. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He said, had God the Father not chose us before the foundation of the earth, he certainly would not have chosen us after we got here. You see, because all of humanity has sinned, all have sinned, and we all come short of the glory of God. And so he chose us before we could mess up, before we could lie, before we could turn our backs on him, before we could do anything that would be negative. The Lord had already chosen us. If I were in St. Paul in South Dallas, I would say there ought to be an amen right there. He chose us. It was his will. He did it before the foundation of the world so that we could be holy and blameless before him. He chose us. And so when he sees us as chosen individuals that are holy. We are unique. We are set apart. We are not like the world. We are different. He is the source of our choice. He's also given us the scope of our choice because he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Every Sunday I give an invitation. But before I give the invitation, I pray to the Lord that his Holy Spirit will make clear to the individuals that he has chosen, that they are chosen, that they should come to Jesus while they yet have a chance because they are chosen. But secondly, not only are we chosen because of the will of the Father, but we are heaven's choice because of the work of the Son. The work of the Son, beginning in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of our transgressions according to the riches of his grace. We are chosen because Jesus redeemed us. His work on Calvary, the song that the musicians sang, made it clear that on the cross, Jesus' blood was shed for us. Oh, I used to sing a song here at Criswell College. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. I don't know about you, but I am glad that the work of Jesus was the work of redemption. The work of redemption. I have been bought out of the slave market of sin. I never have to sin again. And if I do, and when I do, I have an advocate that can always say to his Father, when I deserve punishment, when I deserve chastisement, he can say to his Father, I paid for that. My blood was shed for that. He's my child. He's my son. He's my possession. And not only did he reveal or did he redeem us, but he also reveals to us who God is, which has lavished upon us in him wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. Choice, there it is again. He made that known to us. And so, when someone asks me, how did you get saved? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who reveals unto me that I paid it all. You did nothing but responded to my love, but confessed your sins, but opened your heart so the Spirit could come in to the work of Jesus Christ. He reveals to us who God is, what God loves, who God came for. He revealed that to us, and I'm glad that here at the Criswell College, it makes no difference which program you're in. You are reminded that whether or not you're going into the pulpit ministry, or whether or not you're going into the classroom, or whether or not you're going to be a Christian counselor, or whether or not you're going to work in the area of public policy in our government, you are a minister because you have seen who Jesus is and you know what Jesus can do if people will come to Christ. And that's his work. But lastly, not only have you seen in this text, the will of the Father, he wants us. The work of the Son, he shows us. He has purchased us. But lastly, in this text, you see the witness of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, in him, Jesus Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The witness of the Holy Spirit. How do you know you're saved? How do you know that what Jesus did on Calvary is efficacious in your life? How do you know that you are who you say that you are? I tell you how you know. You know because you have a presence that is with you all the time, everywhere you go. I love those old songs, and I know some of you may not even know what I'm talking about, but there is a song that says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Well, how can he do it? He does it because I am sealed. I have the stamp of approval of God. God has stamped me with his Holy Spirit, and everywhere I go, he goes with me. I wish I had someone that could say amen. He goes with me. He tells me when I am sad. He encourages me. When I get too glad, he brings me back down to where I need to be. The Holy Spirit has sealed me, and wherever I go, he goes with me. I am so glad that he witnesses to me. In my church tradition, we'd say every once in a while, when it gets a little bit too quiet in church, we'll say, amen, lights and walls. But I've learned that lights and walls, even they sometimes can let you down. And so every once in a while, I just say, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Spirit. If I'm telling the truth, put an amen in my spirit. And you see, I want you to know, in this world, as you go and infect the whole world, as you go in your various places of ministry, every once in a while you will get discouraged. Every once in a while your hands will hang low. Every once in a while there will be trouble, heartaches, pains. But as long as you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, he will lift you up when you need lifting. He will give you places. He will open doors. That's the kind of spirit he is. And he will witness to you that you belong to God, and that you're doing the right thing. You're sealed with him, and that seal is a guarantee. I believe I learned this in Dr. Metz class, that word guarantee. I don't know if it was Dr. Metz or Dr. Street. One of them told me that that's just a down payment. That's just a down payment. That's just a down payment. As good as life can get on this side, half haven't been told. As good as life is going to be, and I look at all your young, fresh faces, and I understand that you've got much to be thankful for, and you've got a lot of places to where you're going to be. You have many, many, many great things in your future. I see it right now. But as good as it ever gets on this side, eyes haven't seen. Ears haven't heard. It has not even entered into your hearts the greater things that God has in store for you. So, praise God that you're heaven's choice. Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back because you're here. I want you to know you're here because God chose you. And wherever you go from this point forward, it will be because God wants you there. I never wanted to pastor in Dallas, Texas. I was born in Parkland Hospital. I went to school, Wilma Hutchins High School. I wanted to go to college in Waco, Texas. My ACT was just a little bit too low to get into Baylor. 1 point off, they wouldn't let me in. Then I wanted to go to Morehouse, applied too late. And all of that was because the Lord had another choice for me. And he sent me to a school across the street from First Baptist Church in a building called the Spurgeon Harris Building. The Criswell College. Kirk will remember that we had to park up under the bridge and walk to the school because we didn't have a parking spot. But it was God's choice. Didn't want to pastor in Dallas, but it was God's choice. Came from a house full of boys. I had five brothers. It was six boys of us. But it was God's choice to give me four daughters. Somebody told me, Lelius, you're male chauvinist, and so God's got to give you girls to mellow you down. What are you saying? I don't regret one thing that the Lord has placed in my life, because I gave my life at his calling to him, and all of us must do the same. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer.
Amen. Would y'all join me standing? I think that message obviously speaks for itself, but I want us to speak back to that message. And we're going to use a response, which is the word truth. That's your proper answer to the questions I'm about to ask you. Everybody with me? I want to hear the answer. The answer is going to be? No. The answer is going to be truth. You understand? Not truth. Truth. Right? So it's an amen. It's a way of saying amen. So we're going to say it again. The answer is going to be? Thank you. That's perfect. Are you thankful for the will of the Father? Are you thankful for the work of the Son? Are you thankful for the witness of the Spirit? Then let's go out and live it. Amen. You're dismissed.